Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode, we relish nature's influences, cultural practices, and patrons' glories in Sangam literary work, Natrinai 100, penned by the historian poet Paranar. Set in the agricultural landscape of Marudam, the poem speaks in the voice of a courtesan to her friend, the dancer, as the lady's confidant listens by. Ulludurum nahuven toli, val uhir mari kokkin kural anna, gundanir ambal tanturai uran, temkamal aimbal patri, yenvayin vankol, yelvalai bavviya pusal, sinaviya mugatthu, sinavadu sendru, nin manayotku uraipal yendralin, munayur pal a nedanirai villin oyum, tervan malayan mundai, பேரிசை புலம்புரி வயிரியர் நலம்புரி முளவின் மன்னார் கண்ணின் அதிரும் நன்னர் ஆளன் நடுங்கு அனர்நிலையே. The verse greets us with a heartwarming word, ulludurum, meaning whenever it crosses my mind. A potent word that can start off nostalgic remembrances many. We meet with an interesting feathered friend in mari kokku, meaning a rain stalk. More about this ancient creature in a little while. Flora follows with this quaint expression gundanir ambal. In contemporary times, the word gunde has become associated with either fat or a bomb, but here it means deep, and specifically a deep water white lily. Yet again, we glimpse at aimbal, or five-layered braid we encountered in Natrinai 96, testimony to the thick tresses of Sangam women. Rhythm resounds from the latter part of the poem, not just in words like isai, meaning music, mulavu, meaning drum, but in the sounds of the words ter, per, pulamburi, nalamburi, man, kan, and nannar nadungu. So with a promise that a treat awaits, let's tread into this poetic town. As we have seen in many poems situated in the Marudam landscape, the theme revolves around various angles of a love quarrel between the man and the lady. The reasons for this argument in most of the cases is the man's relationship with the courtesan. Being a land of plenty with resources at hand, the man ends up visiting courtesans, and when he returns to his lady, a conflict arises between them. In this poem's situation, the man has left the courtesan he was visiting to go back to his lady. Knowing that the lady's confidant and her friends are in earshot, the courtesan turns to her friend the dancer and says, "I laugh whenever I think about it, my friend. This is about the lord who comes from a town with cool streams and ponds filled with water lilies rising from deep waters, looking like the sharp beak of a sharp-clawed stork seen in the rainy season. He grabbed my honey-fragrant five-layered tresses, and then he pulled my exquisite white shiny bangle from my hand. In the quarrel that resulted, I turned to him pretending to have an angry expression on my face but with no anger within and said, 'I shall go and tell this to your wife right away. Remember those well-made drums smeared with mud that belong to the skilled musicians who travel from other lands to perform in the court of the generous king, famous for his chariots, Malayan, a skilled marksman who seizes many herds of cattle from enemy lands? Like the skin of those well-made drums, our lord with many a good quality started trembling with fear the moment I spoke those words.'" With these words, the courtesan intends to create trouble at the man's home by passing on a message to the lady through the listening confidant that the man has left the courtesan to go to the lady not out of love but out of fear for the lady. Let's move beyond mere understanding of the meaning to unravel facets of life that lie hidden in verse. Turning to nature first, we see the reference to a rain stalk. Researching more on stocks and rain, I learned that even now, farmers in India look up to the skies to catch a glimpse of the painted stalks that herald the rainy season. Whether it's the reference to a rain stalk in 2000-year-old literature or a 21st-century farmer in the Chintapalli village gazing at the sky, praying for the arrival of the painted stalk, it's nature that seems to remain a soothing constant in our lives. The reference to the stalk is only to say that the beak of these stalks and a bud of the white lily are one and the same. From nature, we move towards cultural aspects. The man apparently arrives from a farming village with plenty of water resources, with such lilies blooming about and rain stalks paying regular visits. The courtesan mentions about an incident with this man. The courtesan says that the man pulled her pretty bangles and she in turn with fake anger told him that she would go tell of this to the man's wife. Then she laughs and tells her friend the dancer that the minute she said that, he started trembling like the skin of a drum. More about that drum soon. The courtesan assumes that the lady hearing this from her confidant will fly into a fire of rage, disturbing the calm union between the man and the lady, and with this devious plot, she hopes that the man will return back to her fold. Coming back to the simile of the drum, through that, the poem leads us to a different path that reveals the glory of kings who patronized poets and in turn helped create such literature. Pariner, being a historian poet, talks of many such kings and events in real life in his poems. In Natchinai 6, penned by him, we meet Ori, the skilled marksman, and in this poem, we meet Malayan, who also appeared in Kabila's Natchinai 77. In this poem, he is described as one famous for his chariots and for his skill to bring home herds of cattle won in battle. What's the connection between the king and the courtesan story? Apparently, knowing of his generous nature, musicians travel from other lands to play in Malayan's court, and it's the well-made drums of those musicians smeared with black mud paste that the courtesan is talking about when detailing the trembling lord from the farming village. With a few lines, facets become engraved in our minds from fields as vastly different as history, biology, and psychology. In a time when we segment subjects into specialities and super specialities and are merely focused on hard facts, this world of Sangam poetry illustrates an interconnected and holistic view of knowledge. All is indeed one, and as these poems on inner life proclaim, everything begins with one within. And with this episode, we complete 100 songs of Natchinai. Thanks for walking with me on this journey to the expanses of ancient lands and the depths of ancient minds. Many more miles to go indeed. Before we continue on, let's take a week's pause at this little milestone and meet again. Please visit nandinikarki.com to revisit the verses we have traversed so far and do leave your reflections as you pass by. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, please rate and review Sangam Lit to share your support for this journey. Until next time, Nandri, Vanakkam.